What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket doing? Mine is still pretty good. I've still got three of my four final four picks in there. But we had another pretty decent upset last night. So let's get right into some of the Sweet 16 matchups that have already happened. We had some games played last night. So last night we had Iowa versus Nebraska, which ended up being a very close game and a major shootout between two crazy teams. But Nebraska actually made a big mistake on the last play of the game where they only had four guys on the court. So it just kind of went that way for Nebraska, falling apart in the end there. But Iowa got the win 77-71. So they are moving on to the Elite Eight in the Southside bracket. But the one upset happened last night between Illinois and Houston. As a matter of fact, Illinois pretty much dominated this game, especially the second half of the game. They got the win 65-55 over Houston. And so they will be moving on to the Elite Eight. And then Arizona just continued to roll through the bracket as they do. They beat Arkansas last night 109-88. And then a close one between my Texas Longhorns and Purdue. Purdue got the win. They held on to the win 79-77. Texas gave it their all. As a matter of fact, I think they made a big mistake by not putting the big man out there on the last play of the game. But, I mean, that's just the way it goes. As a matter of fact, what kind of pissed me off most about Texas in the last stretch there, I want to say about the last minute 30 of the game, they really started to dance too much with the ball and not really have good ball control and not really set up any good plays. And I just feel like that's what kind of cost them in the end there. But I'm really shocked they were even in the Sweet 16, but they still lost to Purdue, and Purdue will move on to the Elite Eight and face Arizona on Saturday. And then we have a couple of matchups tonight. We have Duke versus St. John's. We have Michigan State versus UConn. We have Michigan versus Alabama. And then we have Tennessee versus Iowa State. And like I said, my three of my final four picks are still there. My final four picks were Duke versus Texas A&M. So A&M is out of there, but Duke is still in there. And then Arizona versus Iowa State. And both of those teams are in it. And then, of course, my championship pick, Duke versus Arizona, with Arizona winning it all. So my championship is still intact for now, but that's how March Madness is looking, and we got some more games tonight on tap. So moving on to basketball and pro basketball, a lot has happened this week. A lot of teams keep it moving, so let's start off with Monday. And the Detroit Pistons, no Cade Cunningham, no problem for them, which is a total shocker because I kind of figured once Cade got injured that it was going to be a problem for them, but it actually so far has not turned out to be a problem for them. On Monday night, they were able to take down my Lakers 113-110. Jenkins had 30 points, 8 assists. Durant had 20 points and 11 rebounds. And this team just keeps proving that, hey, we are more than just Cade Cunningham, which is definitely what they need, because when he comes back, they're definitely going to need him for their deep playoff run. Then also on Monday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder kept on moving in the win column. They got the win over the Philadelphia 76ers 123-103. That was the 12th win in the row. Williams came back. He had 18 points. SGA had 22 points. And Hartenstein had 10 points and 12 rebounds. Also on Monday night, Victor Wembanyama had a huge game in a San Antonio Spurs win over the Miami Heat 136-111. Wemby had 26 points and 15 rebounds and 5 blocks. Keldon Johnson had 21 points. Harper had 21 points, and just another all-around solid win from the San Antonio Spurs. Then on Tuesday night, the New York Knicks kept it rolling. They got a win over the New Orleans Pelicans 121-116. It was their 7th win in a row. Jalen Brunson had 32 points, 7 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had 21 points, 14 rebounds, and OG Anunoby had 21 points in there himself. Then also on Tuesday night, the Cleveland Cavaliers got a big win over the Orlando Magic, 136-131. Donovan Mitchell had 42 points. James Harden had 26 points and 7 assists. And Cleveland Cavaliers, like I keep saying, regular season, looking pretty solid. But we all know where the questions will lie in the postseason. Then the Denver Nuggets They are another team that's just lighting on fire. They are having a solid week. On Tuesday, they beat the Phoenix Suns 125-123. Nikola Jokic had another triple-double, 23 points, 17 assists, and 17 rebounds. Jamal Murray had 21 points, and Aaron Gordon had 16 points and 6 rebounds. And like I said, this Denver Nuggets team just keeps on rolling. Then on Wednesday, the Atlanta Hawks, they actually beat the Detroit Pistons in overtime. They got the win 130-129. C.J. McCollum had 29 points or 27 points, and Jalen Johnson had 27 points and 12 assists. The Boston Celtics actually ended up on Wednesday night stopping the Oklahoma City Thunder from winning 13 in a row. They took down the Oklahoma City Thunder 119-109, and this was probably Jason Tatum's best game since he has come back from his injury. He had 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. And then, of course, Jaylen Brown had 31 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds. So all-around solid game from the Boston Celtics and a big win for them over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then on Wednesday night, the Minnesota Timberwolves got a big win over the Houston Rockets in overtime, 110-108. As a matter of fact, it was one of the biggest comebacks of all time. They were actually down by 13 and made a 15-0 run to send it into overtime. And then Julius Randle had the game winner in overtime. And Kevin Durant, unfortunately, missed a couple of free throws, which was another costly thing for them in the end. But Randle ended up with 24 points in the end. And like I said, in a Minnesota Timberwolves win over the Houston Rockets in overtime, 110-108. Then a big game. Like I keep saying, the Denver Nuggets are on fire this week. They got a big win over the Dallas Mavericks, 142-135. And Jamal Murray, he said, "Move over, Nikola. You're having a great game, but I'm dropping 53 points tonight." And so Jamal Murray had one of the biggest career nights of his life. And Nikola Jokic had yet another triple-double, 23 points, 21 rebounds, and 19 assists. As I said, Denver Nuggets keep it moving. And then last night, on Thursday night, the Detroit Pistons once again kept it moving with no Cade Cunningham, no problem. They got the win over the New Orleans Pelicans, 129-108. Jalen Durant had 30 points and 10 rebounds. Like I said, another solid game from them without Cade Cunningham. So let's see where everybody's at with the NBA playoff picture right now. Only have a couple of weeks of the regular season left. Right now in the Western Conference, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the number one overall seed with a regular season record of 57-16. Number two overall seed is the San Antonio Spurs at 55-18. Right now, the number three overall seed, the Los Angeles Lakers, 47-26. Number four overall seed, Denver Nuggets at 46-28. Number five overall seed, the Minnesota Timberwolves at 45-28. And the number six overall seed, the Houston Rockets at 43-29. And then on the play-in side of things, we have the Phoenix Suns as the number seven overall seed at 40-33. Number eight overall seed, the Los Angeles Clippers, 37-36. Number nine overall seed, the Portland Trail Blazers, 37-37. And rounding out the Western Conference play-in side with the number 10 overall seed, the Golden State Warriors at 35-38. Then turning to the Eastern Conference side of things, the number one overall seed remains the Detroit Pistons with an overall record of 53-20. Number two overall seed, the Boston Celtics at 48-24. Number three overall seed, the New York Knicks at 48-26. Number four overall seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 45-28. Number five overall seed, the Atlanta Hawks at 41-32. And the number six overall seed, the Toronto Raptors at 40-32. And then turning to the play-in side of things, on the Eastern Conference here, the number seven overall seed, the Philadelphia 76ers at 40-33. The number eight overall seed, the Orlando Magic at 39-34. The number nine overall seed, the Charlotte Hornets at 39-34. And the number 10 overall seed, the Miami Heat at 39-34. One thing I would like to point out that I really just kind of noticed is that it's crazy that in both conferences right now, the East and the West, the number one overall seed is the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference, and they are the defending champions. And then the Detroit Pistons are number one in the Eastern Conference. And what's crazy about these two teams is just a couple years ago, they were the worst teams in the league. I mean, they've had number one overall picks. I mean, that's how the Thunder got Chet Holmgren, and actually a good chunk of their roster is due to how terrible they were. And then same with the Detroit Pistons. So it's really crazy and shocking to see at the same time. I mean, the Detroit Pistons had historically one of the worst seasons of all time, just like, what, two, three seasons ago? So it's quite amazing to see that two franchises not only took their shitty seasons and just built up their rosters through the draft, through trading, and here they are, both the number one overall seeds. The Thunder are the defending champions, and the Detroit Pistons, they could easily keep it moving. And so it's just really awesome to see just the turnaround, two organizations going from literally two of the worst organizations. I mean, when the Thunder were at the bottom of the barrel, they were the bottom of the barrel. And then same with the Pistons. Like I said, they were just in a historically terrible team a couple seasons ago. And here we have both teams completely turn around through the draft, through free agency, through trades, and here they are, the number one overall seeds currently in the NBA playoffs as they stand. So now let's turn to my MLB 2026 season predictions. We've already talked about the American League and National League East and the American League and National League Central or West. So now today we're going to talk about the National League and American League Central teams, just because I think these are two of the worst divisions for sure. I mean, I feel like there might really only be four competitive teams and really may only be two competitive teams when we're talking about all 10 of these teams combined. So I saved the worst for last. And then I'll ultimately be making my playoff and World Series predictions on Monday's show. So let's get right into the National League Central and how I believe this division's going to turn out. Finishing in first place, I have the Chicago Cubs, just because they are easily the most solid roster overall. For one, they made the move to pick up Bregman in the offseason, and I think that's a huge deal because I feel like that's really all they are missing. You know, they've got PCA, their young superstar. You've got Nico Horner, who's another young superstar. You've got Dansby Swanson, who's just been really solid since they picked him up, and he just adds that veteran presence. But I think Bregman adds yet another piece of veteran presence, just like Swanson does. And then you look at their starting pitching. You've got Shota Imanaga coming off of a career year last year. I expect him to kind of just carry it on to this year. My biggest question with the Cubs is their pitching, mostly their starting pitching, because they don't have a lot of depth. And, you know, they had to struggle through the injuries last year. I wouldn't be shocked if that's what happens this year. But, I mean, overall, I think they have the best roster. I think they're the most talented team. And I feel like the Cubs are going to be one of the top teams in the National League this year. Finishing in second place in the National League Central, I have the Cincinnati Reds. This is Terry Francona's second year as manager of the Reds, and usually that is a big year for every team that Terry Francona has taken over. Usually his first year kind of tends to be, let's get everything in order, let's get my system placed in order, and then let's get the roster in order. And now he's got a really nice, young, solid squad. You still have got Ellie De La Cruz, who is one of the top-tier players in the league. You've got Abbott, who's definitely going to come out and be their top, one of their top starting pitchers. And then they also made a big move by signing Eugenio Suarez in the offseason. He's not the biggest game changer, but I think he's definitely going to add some depth to this roster. And I just kind of feel like the Reds are going to be a breakout team this year. I feel like they're going to be a team that everybody has to watch. And since they're not in a great division, I feel like they're going to get some solid wins. But I just see a huge turnaround for the Cincinnati Reds under Terry Francona's second year as manager. Then finishing in third place in the National League Central, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. I just feel like they lost too much in the offseason. They lost Peralta, one of their top pitchers. They traded him away to the New York Mets in the offseason. And I just feel like that's going to take a toll on their starting pitching. Yes, they have Mizorowski, who had a huge game yesterday. As a matter of fact, he had 11 strikeouts in the first game of the season. So that was a great, that's a good pitcher that they have. But besides him, I don't think the Brewers have a really solid starting pitching. I think their batting lineup is okay. Jackson Churio is going to be starting off the season on the injured list. And I just think there's too many questions for the Brewers this season. Then finishing in fourth place in the National League Central, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. You look over this roster, and it's terrible. They don't have really any standout players. They traded away Sonny Gray, their only solid starting pitcher. They traded away Nolan Arenado, their really only solid bat. They are calling up rookie J.J. Weatherholt. He's supposed to start the season off, and he seems to be their really only bright spot on their roster, but I'm really not expecting any miracles from the Cardinals this year. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting the Cardinals to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And then finishing out the National League Central, I have the Pittsburgh Pirates. Really, all they have is Paul Skeens, and he got blown up in his first start yesterday. And I mean, he's all they have. The rest of their roster is terrible. They don't really have much talent, and I just kind of wouldn't be surprised if, not this year, but at some point, Paul Skeens eventually becomes trade bait because he's just another great, amazing, talented player who's just dwindling away on the Pittsburgh Pirates. And usually what they do is trade that player away, and then they go on to have a great career. So other than Paul Skeens, it's going to be another long season for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But even when he pitches, it's probably going to continue to be a long season. But that was just game one. I'm not expecting Skeens to have a terrible year. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Skeens is a Cy Young Award winner or at least a nominee this season. But definitely not the way you want to start off the season. Moving on to the American League Central and how I feel this division is going to turn out. Finishing in first place, I have the Detroit Tigers. I feel like they got stronger, especially at the starting pitcher position, which says a lot. Because Tarek Skubal, he's the two-time defending Cy Young Award winner. So you got him already. And then you've got Flaherty, and that he's a solid pitcher. Then you've also got Mize, who's another solid pitcher. And then they picked up just their oldie but goodie, Justin Verlander. I don't think he's going to be the Verlander of old, but he definitely gives them some depth at the starting pitcher position. And then, of course, they picked up Framber Valdez as well, and I've always liked Framber. He's always been a very solid, consistent pitcher. He's a strikeout king, and I just think this bolsters the starting pitching for the Detroit Tigers, puts them right up at the top as usual. I think the relief pitching is solid, and then, of course, they've got great. They're great on the defensive side of the ball, and then offensively, they just have some pop, and I just feel like this is one of the most technically sound baseball teams you are going to find, meaning they just play great overall baseball. I think they're going to rule their division and probably be one of the best teams in the American League. Finishing it in second place in the American League Central, I have the Kansas City Royals. As a matter of fact, this is a team I feel like is going to be another surprise team. You know, they've been building this really solid roster over the last couple of seasons. You know, you got Bobby Witt Jr., who's one of the top tier five-tool players in the league. He's great offensively, great defensively, had an amazing World Baseball Classic. So I feel like he's just going to walk into this and potentially be an MVP candidate. That's what kind of year I believe Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have. You also have Pasquantino, who's been just getting hot. And when he's healthy, he is a solid player. And then their young guy, Jack Caglione, I feel like he's going to break out this year. My only concern with the Royals is their pitching. You know, they were able to keep it together last year, but are they going to be able to do it for two seasons in a row? I feel like they could use some more depth at the starting pitching position. Could use some help in the relief department as well, but I think it's mostly their starting pitching where I see the most problems arising with this team. Then finishing in third place in the American League Central, I have the Minnesota Twins. I look over this roster and it's just terrible. There really isn't anything good to say about this team, and I'm really not expecting much from the Minnesota Twins. Then finishing in fourth place in the American League Central, it's the same thing with the Chicago White Sox. I feel like they can't get any worse. I mean, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball over the last couple of seasons, so they really can't get any worse, can they? I mean, roster's terrible, but I feel like they can muster up a few more wins than they have over the last couple of seasons. That's the best I could say about the Chicago White Sox. But rounding out the American League Central, I actually have the Cleveland Guardians. I think this team sucks. I think their roster's garbage. I think their only good starting pitcher is Tanner Bibee, and he got injured last night. So who knows what's going on there, but I don't think they have any offense. I don't think they have any defense. I don't think they have any starting pitching. I don't think they have relief pitching. I think this is going to be one of the worst teams in baseball, and I think it's going to be a very, very long season if you are a Cleveland Guardians fan. All right, y'all, enjoy this jam-packed weekend of sports. We've got March Madness on tap. We've got NBA basketball on tap with playoff implications, of course. And then, of course, baseball now, y'all. We finally have some baseball. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.